Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
Does anyone care?
You know, sometimes organization and structure can be good for a person's life. If you don't know where you're going or you don't have a game plan, you end up running around like a chicken with its head cut off. On the other hand, if your life gets too structured, everything gets predictable and boring. And that's why on today's show, I will be throwing out all the rules and acting as if there are no repercussions. In fact, I usually open the show with kind of a little monologue thing. Well, no. I'm just going to stop everything right now. And I think I'll start out with some emails.
This is no good.
First of all, several of you wondered what I thought of the Super Bowl and who I was rooting for and so forth. And the answer is I kind of ended up pulling for Seattle.
How?
I like Peyton Manning a lot, but the problem is he plays for the wrong team. I've hated the Denver Broncos for years now, so I could not root for them. So when they got their butts handed to them by the Seahawks, I actually enjoyed the game, even though it wasn't close. As far as the halftime show, well, I'm sorry, but I actually thought Bruno Mars was pretty good. It beat the hell out of Beyonce or somebody like that, and his band is good. However, I could have done without the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't ever need to see them do Give It Away Now ever again. And did you hear that their instruments weren't even plugged in?
No way, man.
Yeah, total lip sync job, but it's not like they couldn't have done it live. Flea's a monster on the bass, but I guess the art of lip syncing has been around forever. I remember watching American Bandstand back in the 70s and no one ever played live on there. Of course, I didn't care, thanks to Dick Clark, because I was more interested in watching hot chicks dance in mini skirts and high heels. Thank you, Dick.
Yeah!
And speaking of dicks, I got an email from Jimmy G in Chicago.
Whoa, hey!
Just kidding, Jimmy. I love you, man, and I really love your emails. And the reason is because Jimmy always has great questions, great comments, and great suggestions.
Great.
And this time, Jimmy has suggested that I do a new segment where I review classic rock and roll movies. And I could call it Monty's Rock and Roll Movie Reviews. And I actually think that's a really good idea, so here you go, Jimmy. It's a brand new segment here on the Rockcast that I came up with all on my own, and I like to call it Monty's Rock and Roll Movie Reviews. Now, one of Jimmy's first suggestions was Pink Floyd The Wall, but I have not seen that.
Loser!
Yeah, I know, hard to believe, but once again, I know I sound like a stoner, but I am not. And perhaps someday I'll see that, but so far I haven't. So instead, I will be reviewing from 2001, Rockstar.
Wow.
It starred Mark Wahlberg and Jennifer Aniston, and it was loosely based on the story of how Judas Priest replaced Rob Halford with a guy in a tribute band. And honestly, I would actually rather have seen a good documentary about Judas Priest than I would of this movie. It was really pretty corny. There's a lot of cliches about rock and roll. Obviously, if you're going to be in a rock band, you're going to get completely out of control, do massive amounts of drugs, and cheat on your girlfriend, even if your girlfriend is Jennifer Aniston.
Is that so wrong?
So no, it wasn't a great movie. However, every time it comes on my TV, I find myself sitting there and watching it. Maybe it's kind of like slowing down and turning your head to look at a car wreck on the side of the road. I don't know. Maybe it's so bad that I find it entertaining. On the other hand, if you look really closely, you'll see Zakk Wylde on guitar and Jason Bonham on drums. And if you can forgive him for the funky bunch, I think you'll even have to admit that Mark Wahlberg's a pretty good actor. Maybe not in this movie, but, you know, he's got a certain charm. And I will watch pretty much anything that Jennifer Aniston's in, not just because she's good looking. She's a good actress, and she does a good job in Rockstar, even though it kind of sucks.
Nobody's watching it. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to see it.
Now, the next rock movie I'm going to review is one that I was in for about 2 seconds. It's Airheads from 1994, and I've talked about how Galactic Cowboys got in the movie many times, but I've never really talked about what I thought of the movie. And unfortunately, I'd have to say that this was not very good either. You had this amazing cast with Brendan Fraser, Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi, Michael Richards, Chris Farley, Michael McKean, and yet, no, it was a comedy that wasn't funny. And I should have known, because when we were asked to write a song for that movie, the people that were making the movie gave me a lyric sheet with some examples of what they wanted. And the words were so bad that we just threw them away and wrote our own song. And when we showed up on the set, they took us to wardrobe and showed us that we were wearing these grass skirts. And I was just like, these people have no clue. And then when I saw it in the theaters, I was very disappointed. It had a lot of potential, but it just didn't measure up. I mean, I've seen worse movies, but for the talent they had in this thing, they really blew it. And not to mention, all the footage of me got left on the cutting room floor, and I'm still not happy about it.
Get over it!
And I think I'll do one more. How about Hard Day's Night by the Beatles?
I've never heard of it.
It came out in 1964, and I loved this when I was a kid because I was a big Beatles fan. But you look back on it now, and it was kind of embarrassing in parts. The acting was not very good, and let's face it, it was just kind of dumb. But it was the Beatles, and nobody cared. We loved it. It was in black and white, and, you know, there was something magical about it. And so I got to thinking, I wonder what the critics thought of this movie. So I went on this website called Rotten Tomatoes, where they have critics and fans rate the movies. And Hard Day's Night got a 99% from the critics and a 90% from the fans. And to give you an idea, on Airheads, the critics gave that a 25 and the fans gave it a 50. So to this day, people love the Beatles. It didn't matter what they did, you just put a camera in front of them, started rolling, and if they said, that's Paul's grandfather, everyone was, that was hilarious, they are genius. And personally, I can't disagree. So if you get a chance to see Hard Day's Night, if you've never seen it, by all means, go find that and rent it.
I'll pass.
And so until next time, this has been Monty's Rock and Roll Movie Reviews. Yeah, I think I may make that a regular segment. I'm glad I thought of that.
No, you didn't.
Now, getting back to Jimmy G's email, he had a question for me, and he said, "Hey, Monty, have you ever heard of the band Thrice? They have a couple of really good albums. You might want to give these guys a spin." Well, yes, Jimmy, I have heard of Thrice. In fact, I've played them on the Rockcast before. I don't like everything they've ever done. They're a little bit hit and miss with me, but I did love their album, The Artist and the Ambulance. It seemed like they tried to be a little more commercial, a little more melodic on that CD, and they came up with some really good tunes. If you just walk away. Thrice also did one of my favorite songs of all time, and I'm talking top five. It's called All That's Left, and to me, this is a perfect song. It rocks like there's no tomorrow, killer harmony vocals, and a catchy melody to boot. I know I've played this a couple of times on the Rockcast, but I could hear this every day and not get tired of it. So here once again is some Thrice. I'll never forget the first time I heard that song. I was driving home listening to an alternative radio show, and that song came on and I was like, what is this? And I pulled into the garage and I just kept listening till it was done. And they said, that's Thrice, and I went out and bought it the next day. And it's been one of my favorite songs ever since. And yet I know there's somebody out there sitting there right now who just heard that and went, yeah, it's all right.
Boring.
But that's the great thing about music. We all have our different opinions, our different tastes. It's like I heard from a guy the other day who said he likes death metal, but he doesn't like that stuff that I play where it's got a bunch of screaming and then a melodic chorus. And I thought, well, you like heavy music, you like screaming, but just because they put something melodic in there, suddenly you don't like it.
That's right.
But whatever. Here's something random. Did you see on the news a while back, this guy actually died when he was smothered to death by his wife's boobies?
Wow! Nice!
Yeah, apparently she just took those things and killed him with them.
That is awesome!
And I know if you're a guy, initially you think, well, if you're gonna die, that might be a nice way to go. But I don't know, I'm thinking there's probably a certain point where it goes from, wow, this is hot, to, uh-oh. Now, I'm one of those guys who's lucky enough to have one of those wives that if she wanted to, she could end my life with what she's got.
They're enormous.
Fortunately for me, though, she's chosen not to use them as deadly weapons.
Oh, and by the way, they're real and they're spectacular.
All right, let's do a top 10 list next. And I've got one here from Ryan Sessions. And this is his top 10 list of Seinfeld side characters. And if you're like me and you love Seinfeld, well, you'll probably love this list. But if you never liked Seinfeld or you never watched it, you won't know what the hell he's talking about. Regardless, his list starts out at number 10 with somebody that you hear his name but never see his face. It's Bob Sacamano. Number 9 is a character that only appeared in one or one and a half episodes. It's the Soup Nazi.
No soup for you!
Number 8 was Jackie Childs, the lawyer. Number 7 was Babu, the Indian restaurant owner. Number 6 was the little person, Mickey Abbott. And number 5 was Kenny Banyan. Yeah, Kenny Banyan was one of those guys you really don't want to hang out with, but somehow they think that they're your best friend. But yeah, great character, and good call, Ryan. That is gold.
Oh, yeah!
Number 4 is the inventor of the holiday Festivus. It's Frank Costanza.
Serenity now!
Number 3 is also one of my favorite characters. It's David Putty. And Ryan describes him as a face-painted, hockey-loving Christian mechanic who is cool with just staring straight ahead into oblivion on a multi-hour plane trip.
That's well said.
Number 2 is that kleptomaniac Uncle Leo. And Ryan's number 1 Seinfeld side character is Jerry's arch-nemesis, Newman. Well, great job, Ryan. Thanks for the list, man. Seinfeld is still probably my favorite show of all time. And speaking of TV shows, did you see that show where they paid tribute to the Beatles a few weeks ago?
I've never seen something like this.
Oh, well, let me tell you about it. It was a celebration of the 50-year anniversary of the Beatles playing the Ed Sullivan Show. And Paul and Ringo were both there, and all in all, it wasn't horrible. But in typical Grammy-like fashion, there was a lot of crap. I mean, I understand you're going to have people doing their renditions of Beatles songs, but seriously, Maroon 5? It's so typical of network TV. Instead of getting somebody like Cheap Trick, let's get the latest flavor of the week, like Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, I was fine with people like Jeff Lynne and Joe Walsh and even Dave Grohl. But what do people like Alicia Keys and Pharrell Williams with his giant Mountie hat on have to do with the Beatles?
Nothing!
And I know this is probably blasphemous, but I didn't even like Stevie Wonder doing a funk version of We Can Work It Out.
What?
No, I'm sorry. I don't bow down to Stevie Wonder. I don't like him that much, and I really didn't like him messing with that song.
How dare you!
So what did I like about this show? Well, David Letterman did some interviews with Paul and Ringo, and I thought it was really interesting. They talked about what was going on in their minds the day they played Ed Sullivan. And there was also some cool interviews with the people who were working on the show and the audience members. They actually talked to a couple of those screaming girls that were there that day, and I thought that was kind of cool. I also liked that Paul and Ringo played at the end of the show, and that Peter Frampton was up there playing guitar with them. But really, the star of this TV program were the songs. You just can't get past how great those tunes were, and they're still relevant today. And when I hear that stuff, it takes me back to a good time in my life when my folks thought the Beatles were evil. And yet, you take a look at it now, and it doesn't seem vulgar or weird or out there at all. It just seems great. And it's also refreshing to see that all these years later, Paul McCartney is still charming and a class act. He's got to be the most famous living rock star on earth right now, and yet he's still gracious. And in this day and age, that's a quality that our society severely lacks. Humility isn't even a thing in anyone's mind. It's all about, look at me, I'm awesome.
You're bumming me out, old man.
Case in point, the other day I saw an interview on ESPN with LeBron James. When he first came into the league, I thought, well, this is kind of cool. Here's a guy that's got a lot of talent, but he's not completely full of himself. But as the years went by and he won a couple of MVPs and a couple of championships, he got more and more sickening. And now he's just like, yeah, by the time I'm through, they need to put me on the Mount Rushmore of greatest players of all time.
Oh, yeah!
And can somebody tell me who started this whole thing where you've got to do a victory dance every time you score a basket or a touchdown? When I was growing up, maybe the players weren't quite as good as they are today, but at least they didn't have to beat their chest every time they made a jump shot. Of course, pointing out the fact that today's players are making asses out of themselves probably makes me a racist.
That's right.
I'm told this is a cultural thing that I just wouldn't understand. So forgive me for my insensitivity.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And as we're celebrating Black History Month, don't forget to focus on everyone's skin color.
Say what?
And remember people like LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Tyler Perry, Barack Obama, and Oprah, who have managed to somehow make a decent living despite being held down by the man.
This sounds racist.
And while I'm being politically incorrect, did you hear the great news?
No.
The first openly gay football player has come out of the closet.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. His name is Michael Sam. He's from the University of Missouri. And unless you are a bigoted, homophobic loser, you will support him, tell him he is awesome and a hero. Or at least that's what the mainstream media is telling us that we have to believe. I personally don't care what Michael Sam does in his private life. And if he wants to put all the focus on his sexuality, well, I guess that's up to him. But I'll be damned if I'm gonna let the news media or Michelle Obama tell me how I have to think.
You may want to move on to another topic.
All right, I got an email from a guy named Lance Montgomery Ford. He's a three-name guy and he listens to the Rockcast. And he recommended a band called Fair to Midland and their album Arrows and Anchors, and he wondered if I'd had a chance to check it out. Well, yes, I have, Lance, and I like it. And I actually think some of you prog guys will like it too. It's kind of different. Some of this stuff is kind of weird, but there are some great songs on here, and they mix in a lot of cool vocal harmonies, and I'm always into that.
Yeah.
So that was fair to Midland, as suggested by Lance Montgomery Ford. And Lance also said that he likes my show, but he has to agree with Tobin in Texas about the whole nu metal screamo kind of stuff that I play on the show. And he says that it's not his cup of tea either. He says he's just not into it, and he thinks that if I took snippets out of songs from, say, Scary Kids Scaring Kids, The Devil Wears Prada, A Skylit Drive, and Seosin, and put them all together, it would probably sound like the same song.
I bet he's right!
Well, yeah, I know what you're saying, Lance. A lot of that stuff does sound the same. And I know a lot of you old guys think it's just music for kids that shop at Hot Topic.
I hate everything but Matlock.
But honestly, there are a lot of great bands in that genre, and those are the songs that I try to play for you. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. There's actually a lot of guys that write me and tell me they love that stuff too. But like with any musical genre, you're going to have those bands that are good and original, and then you're going to have a bunch of bands who are just kind of copycats. And whether it was hair metal or grunge or thrash, you had the innovators, and then you had about a million bands that just tried to sound like them. And so, yeah, there's a lot of metalcore stuff that I don't like, but I try to weed through all that crap and get to the stuff that's really good.
Thank you for sharing your honest feelings with me.
I gotta say, though, that was kind of an interesting idea you had there, Lance. I wonder what that would sound like if I spliced a bunch of metalcore bands together. There you go. That's The Devil Wears Prada, Scary Kids Scaring Kids, Of Mice and Men, Seosin, and A Skylit Drive all mashed up together. And you are right, Lance. That does all sound like the same song, and God, do I like it.
It's just wonderful stuff.
Okay, I got a couple more questions from our friend Jimmy G. And he said that he recently played on some demos for a young female singer in her early 20s.
All right!
She's also a model for the Ford Modeling Agency. And like me, she was in a movie for about 3 seconds. So she's also an actress. And Jimmy says she's building her resume to include acting, singing, or whatever, because she'll need a way to earn money after she's all washed up in her mid-20s. And Jimmy's question is, hey, Monty, what advice can you offer this young woman? Well, Jimmy, I'd have to say, if she's a model for the Ford agency, I'm guessing that she's a hot chick.
Oh, yeah.
And usually extremely good-looking girls in their early 20s don't have any problem whatsoever getting any guy that they want. Because let's face it, men are shallow.
Yes, they are.
So I would suggest that she go out and find herself a man with a great job and a lot of money, and then just don't worry about it. At that point, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
And this is bad advice.
Now, if this was a guy we were talking about, well, that's a whole different story. The chances of you being successful in music or the entertainment business are astronomical. So I would get myself a really good backup plan. Either go back to college or learn a trade or something. Because speaking from personal experience, I left myself no safety net. I got a degree in art, but that's of no help when you lose your record deal and you don't have a job. So I would tell most people, prepare yourself if it doesn't happen, but if you love what you're doing, go for it. Sometimes dreams come true. There's no guarantees that you're going to be rich and famous, but if you work hard and you're good and you get a few breaks, you might be able to have a nice little career. I happen to be one of those lucky people who defied all the odds and went from writing songs in his bedroom to playing in front of 10,000 people in Europe. But that doesn't happen very often, especially these days, and so I would just go ahead and do it because you love what you're doing, and if something happens to work out, well, great.
Very pointed and provocative commentary.
Now, Jimmy's follow-up question was, hey, Monty, does your daughter aspire to do anything when she grows up? And the answer to that is yes, but it's not what you think.
What is it exactly?
You see, by nature, most kids are rebellious, and they're going to do the opposite of whatever you want them to do. And when I was growing up, my parents fed me a steady diet of gospel quartets and Christian music and wouldn't let me listen to rock and roll at all. And so, therefore, when I got into high school, I decided I want to be in a rock band. So when my daughter Zoe was born, I raised her on Metallica, Megadeth, and I played in a heavy metal band.
A marvelous role model.
Well, despite all that, now that she's 14, all she wants to do is sing opera and show tunes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, I know. But she does have an amazing voice, she's got quite the acting chops, and all she wants to do is make it to Broadway. Of course, I'll love and support her no matter what she does, and I'm very proud of her. But I guess we'll see what happens. I know I wanted to be a professional basketball player till I was about 18, and suddenly realized, hey, I'm 5'10", slow, and white. That may not be working out for me.
Gee, you think?
But my daughter has decided that she is going to be a Broadway star, and there is no changing her mind about it. She is motivated and determined, and I gotta say that's kind of refreshing. Because honestly, most of the kids I see these days have no desire to do anything other than sit on a couch and watch Nickelodeon or play a video game.
Losers!
I mean, I don't want to sound like a grouchy old man, but do you remember when you were a kid and you had imaginary friends?
Sure.
Well, no more. There's no need for that any longer because now you've got reruns of Hannah Montana and the Power Rangers 24 hours a day. And if you tell a kid to get off his lazy butt and go outside and play, he's gonna look at you like, what? Yeah, right. I've got a Wii with Netflix on it that you bought and hooked up for me in my bedroom. Why in the world would I want to go outside? Please don't make me.
This almost seems cruel.
But really, when it comes right down to it, I think the reason we had kids in the first place is that we just needed a little more frustration and torment in our lives. Why else would you create something that is guaranteed to knock on your door every time you and your wife are in the bedroom having a conversation?
Right.
And they never interrupt you for a good reason. It's always something like, hey, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom. Or better yet, can I have a snack? It's been an hour since I've had a snack.
Kill me!
But don't get me started about kids and food. When I first met my wife, Lindsay, she had a 3-year-old boy, and she couldn't get him to eat anything. He would start crying crocodile tears if she tried to make him eat a cheeseburger. All he wanted was processed chicken and fries. But when I became his stepdad, I informed him that all that was going to change and he would not win this battle. Well, I'm happy to report that since then, his eating habits have improved greatly. He's now fine with eating cheeseburgers or pizza. However, he still turns up his nose at anything that looks like it might be healthy for you or contain some kind of vitamin or nutritional value. Fortunately for him, though, he doesn't have to worry about any of that because he eats school lunches. And the other day I was checking out the menu and they gave him a choice of corn dogs, chicken nuggets, or a PBJ. Of course, he chooses the peanut butter and jelly sandwich every single day. But the first thing I thought was, who gives a six-year-old a choice? These are the same kids who have no problem with spinning around in a circle in the middle of a crowded room while picking their nose. They don't get a choice. You give them some carrot sticks and you tell them to shut the hell up.
You're mean.
Of course, if you do try that or some tough love, you're in danger of being arrested by protective services. After all, we live in a day and age where you're supposed to raise your kid to be a total puss.
What?
They're fragile creatures who need pampering at all times. And as parents, it is our duty to provide them with food, shelter, and endless supplies of games, toys, and electronics.
That's right.
Of course, teaching them things like the difference between right and wrong and making them do chores were good ideas in the past, but have now been replaced by things like free taxi service and a summer pass to the pool. In exchange, our kids agree to never buy us anything for birthdays or Christmas, respond to everything we say with uh-uh or I know, and to always look at us like we are stupid and the most uncool people on earth.
That sounds like a good deal.
When you think about it, it's a pretty fair trade-off. Now, speaking of kids, it's time to gather them in the living room because it's time for Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. This is a look at what I've been listening to on my iPod. And as always, when you listen to my iPod, there's going to be things on there that you might like, and there's things that you're going to think are crap. But you're going to hear all kinds of different music, but it probably won't be rap. So keep in mind that this could be Kanye West I'm playing, and maybe this first clip won't seem so bad. It's off the new CD, Restoring Force, from Of Mice and Men. That's Of Mice and Men, and their former singer-bass player left to start this band called Dayshell. And so when I heard they were going to replace him, I thought, this next album's not going to be that good. But the new singer actually sounds a lot like him, and I was pleasantly surprised. This new one is actually pretty melodic and has some good tunes on it, so if you're into metalcore, check it out.
No thanks.
Next is one of my favorite albums at the moment. It's from Ice Nine Kills from their CD, The Predator Becomes the Prey.
Only thing we need to scale these walls is to believe. So we'll never say that we're dead. It's too far.
other day, Rockcast listener Dan the Man Cunningham asked me if I've been watching That Metal Show. They've got a new season on right now. It's from New York, and it's been pretty good. They've had guests like Frankie Bello from Anthrax, and Ted Nugent was on there recently, and he was hilarious. And they also do a segment where they suggest albums you might want to check out. Well, one of them was a CD by Tony Iommi with Glenn Hughes on vocals. It was called Fused. And I'll have to admit that I had never heard it, so I went and found it, and I like it. Glenn Hughes is such a great singer, one of my favorites. And if you're into stuff like King's X, I think you might like this. It kind of has that same vibe to it. I just want to tell you how could I forget you. I just want to let you know. Grace, I want to live in grace. I gotta find some grace. I want to live in grace forevermore. Once again, the name of that CD is called Fuse by Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath.
The most evil man that ever existed.
And I found out this year that he actually has the same birthday as me, February 19th.
Oh my word, that's amazing.
Yeah, and also born on that day are Doug Aldrich, Victoria Justice, Smokey Robinson, Jeff Daniels, and Seal.
That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, you learn all kinds of things when you visit Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. That is going to do it for this episode of the Rockcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. I know I did, because I'll tell you what, I have got a good woman. Not only is my wife Lindsay beautiful, but she's got a beautiful heart. She treats me so good, and she has changed my outlook on life. And I love her and appreciate her so much, and this last song I'm going to play is for her. It's an amazing ballad by Bless the Fall, and you're free to listen to it too. But that's going to do it for me for now, but until next time, this is Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.